1 Corinthians chapter 14, pick back up verse 21. We found out last week when Paul said in the law, while the Corinthians were fascinated with tongues, he says, brethren, 20, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So we see what Paul is giving the Corinthians an explanation. He said the tongues, were not for those that believe, but for those that believe not. And that we saw last week, we saw all those occurrences of tongues were related with judgment, where God was showing the people about the judgment to come or the judgment that had taken place. So when, even in the last one, we looked at Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, when they all spoke with tongues, and most people will say, well, that was the beginning of the church, or that was the good news. And it was, and when you think about the Acts 2, it wasn't good news. Peter didn't preach Christ like we preach Christ. He wasn't saying, glory to God, he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Trust him and you have everlasting life. He was saying, you did it. You killed him. Repent.
Now this is your last chance.
This is your last chance. Before what?
Before
judgment. So that's why they are speaking in tongues, because God is letting them know, I'm trying to get your attention. After this, the hammer. Or the great, in particular, he says, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. That's not the kingdom. That's the wrath before the kingdom.
Yeah.
Just, you see that chart? The great and notable day is the tribulation. And then after that, you see the kingdom. So when you read, when you're reading and you see the tongues, you can just about bet that the next step is some type of judgment, or it's the sign of a judgment that has taken place.
What was the next? Do you remember the next verse that you were going to go to, but you didn't? It was like in Acts.
Acts 10. You want to look at that? Acts 10. There was one in Acts 10, I believe, that was Cornelius. We'll start at verse 22. Well, we know God had to give Paul a special revelation, or Paul, Peter, a special revelation to go with the men from Joppa, to go to Cornelius. In verse 22, he says, and they said, verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that, you know what? I have to throw this in here. What is a centurion?
Soldier.
A soldier of what? Of how many?
100.
100. 100, yes. 100.
Honor.
100.
Honor.
Honor. Watch this. He says, and they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good. There it is. It says, of one that what? Feareth God. He honored God.
Mm-hmm.
And of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." Does that sound like the apostle to the Gentiles going out to save the people? People will say, well, Peter was the first one to preach to a Gentile. He didn't have that in mind. We'll say, how do you know that? How do you know that?
Yeah, that's why he sent for
me. If he knew he was going to preach the gospel, he would say, I'm here to preach the gospel, man. That's why I'm here. But he got there and he says, okay, I'm here. God told me to come here. What do you want?
What's up?
What's up? Right. What's that, Annette?
According to the law.
According to the law. I'm not. He says, all this is in his mind.
Yeah.
Not evangelizing. He says, let's drop down in verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be a judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through this man whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now we read all that, but what comes before Acts chapter 10? Paul's conversion. Acts chapter 9. What's happening in Acts chapter 9?
The ages are being set aside.
The Jews are being set aside. Who knows that?
Slowly.
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah, he learned it slowly, yes.
And I like that. Nobody. Who knows that?
God
knows that. So whose responsibility is it to let the people, his people, know what's going on? If he says, I'm judging the nation for their unbelief, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, I have to let them know what I'm doing. So one of my, I'm speaking freely here, as and just for your convenience, if I'm God, and I'll say, one of my chief ways of speaking to my people is by, through a man, that's true, through a prophets and apostles, but I use a particular method, which is, huh?
Dispensation?
Huh? Parables, that's very close. Very close. That's one of them. Yeah, that is one of them.
Prophecy?
Okay. Well, yeah. If you think about it, we've been talking about it.
Miracles, tongues.
Right. Miracles. Tongues is what I want. But in particular, all these would fall under one word. Signs. Right? He says, the Jews require a sign.
Yep.
God started off that way. Back in Moses' day, he says, speak to them with this sign. If they hearken not to this sign, use this sign.
They wouldn't believe you unless it was the sign.
Because you know what? God, he got, you know what he said? The signs have a voice. That's why he said, speak to them in the sign, with the sign. Now, just think about this. Now that the signs are gone, well, where does the voice come from? Where does the speaking come from?
From preaching?
Amen.
From God's word.
Signs?
No, those are gone. What?
Scripture.
Yes, scripture. Of course. I know. You know what? Sometimes, you know what? And it happens all the time. We, and I'm not saying it's a bad way, we know so much that we forget to take the baby steps. We're looking for something else, and because we know we take so much for granted.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do, like I said, because when you start talking to other people, you have to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know. They're going step by step.
Zip right over your head.
Yeah, you can't lose them. You can run off and leave them, and they want to know, well, wait a minute, what's a sign? Some people don't know what a sign is. So we know what signs are. We're way over here. And he's like, wait a minute, what's a sign? And you say, oh, okay, well, go back.
And most modern Christians still believe in signs.
Yeah.
Right.
Or want it, or...
They think all these are still relevant today. And what we hold is the only way God is speaking today is through Scripture. He has nothing else to say. Why would he show me a sign and a miracle when I have his complete word and will in my hand?
And especially today's program is not for Jews. So that would tell you right away, signs is out the window for right now until we get back.
That's right.
Pick the timeline back up and what's the fullness of the Gentiles.
Right. So that's why when Blake said what Acts chapter 2, you see the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 7, they reject the offer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they reject it. Acts chapter 8, you are introduced to Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
turns upon. Is it like 13?
What? 13 what?
Chapter Acts
13. Oh, that's when he's separated.
Yeah.
Right, Acts 13 is when he's separated. But in 8, you're introduced to Saul. Now, you think about how we talked about how God is God's responsibility to inform his people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in Acts 7, if they rejected the Lord, what's next? Judgment. One of the reasons you know that is because the tongues were there in the context. The next step, he says, if you respond now, He says, we get it. If you don't, you get it. So, but instead of judgment, when in Acts 7, you know, Stephen said, I see
Christ
standing on the right hand of God. Well, he's coming back. He's beginning to orchestrate the judgment. But all of a sudden, Stephen says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He's just praying. He's praying. But in the next chapter, you see they lay their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Well, that's the Lord. He says, well, I got to tell you what I'm doing. And I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. So here's this man, Saul, who's the leader, breathing threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, desired letters to the high priest that he should go as far as Damascus. He's the leader, the chief of sinners. Not the worst, the chief. You say, what's the difference? He's leading the charge. Acts chapter 9, he gets saved. The Lord saves him and says, he is my chosen vessel. And I want to show him how great things he must suffer. Well, wait a minute. What about these guys? What about the Jews?
Just kind of trickle it off.
Yeah.
But what about the judgment? What about the judgment that God was supposed to pour out his wrath on them?
Mercy.
He introduces grace by a new apostle. Right, the mystery. So little by little, he says, now, I save him and I'm going to give him a revelation to reveal the gospel of grace. Not the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of grace. Just got out of the gospel of the kingdom. So he begins to unfold to him. So you find in Acts 10 where the Lord he sends Cornelius to Joppa, and then the Gentiles speak in tongues. I gotta let Peter. Who's Peter at the time? Who is Peter? Not just one of the 12. The leader of the 12.
He's a leader.
He's the leader.
Yeah.
Who, if I'm changing, right. I have to let. I gotta let the pillar, as Galatians would call him. I have to let the pillar know, right? Peter, James, and John, right. So he's not quite up to speed yet, but he's getting there. Because God has to show him that I'm leaving your nation as a preferred nation to start this, I'm starting this new thing. So he gets to Joppa and he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden they speak in tongues. Wow.
You can't deny that.
I can't deny that because right.
Yeah.
That's how God gets my attention.
Mm-hmm.
When Peter was, God got his attention with a what? With a vision. With a sign. Go with him. He goes there. What do you want? He preaches. He sees the tongues. Wow. What next? Well, baptize them. Why? Because I'm supposed to. That's what we do. But the man's already got the Holy Spirit. That's to get Peter's attention. So when he gets back, and then he says, well, why'd you do that? Peter, he's in the meeting. They called him into question. Why'd you do that? Why'd you go up there? Look at Acts.
Yeah, they gave him a hard time.
They gave him a hard time, right. Acts 11. 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they which of the circumcision congratulated him. Oh, I'm sorry. They contended with him. Why? Because, he says, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them.
The Gentiles.
Who knows what's going on at this time?
Nobody.
Nobody. So they're still stuck because the enlightenment, the revelation hasn't been it hasn't been revealed to them yet. So they're learning on the go. Real time. Not like us, we sit down and we know what's happening. They are going, they're learning real time. So this has to be, God is revealing his will to them just like Paul.
Your
he says,
baby steps.
This little by line, we just line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little,
there
a little. So he says, I'm letting you know, Peter, that I'm leaving you, and I'm letting you know, Paul, that I'm sending you.
And in between, we got Barnabas.
So, and he's, God, he's got all the dots connected.
Mm-hmm.
All he says is, just follow me. So, anyway, that's what the tongues were. And you see that, and it's always God's leaving. He's leaving, and he says, well, I left. Acts 28, that's the end of that. End of the signs. He says, you ever notice when you're reading through the Acts, in some of Paul's letters, he'll say, he'll use a phrase, to the Jew first. And also to the Greek. He knows, he says, they got it first. The opportunity was to them first, and then to the Jew also, to the Jew and also to the Greek. And he'll use that until you get to Acts 28. You ever notice why he does? Why does he do that? Because God, in his graciousness, even through the Acts period, he's still reaching out his hand to the individual Jew to give them a chance to be a partaker of the grace that he is now giving through Paul.
That's like he's slowly closing one door as he's
that's right.
Closing another one, opening another one.
That's exactly what's happening. You know what you think about when Noah was building the ark? Do you think the door was open? Do you think they had time to get in?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That day comes. You know what? The Lord says, come on. He says, go on in. And they go in. And the scripture said, and the Lord shut the door.
Yeah, sealed it up. That's it, guys. Judgment.
When it started raining. You think you heard some knocks on the door? Hey, Noah.
So
Noah.
And that was, have a chance
what
to
was, and what was the period? Like from when he started building the ark to like when the doors were shut? It was like
120 years.
Yeah,
so. They had,
that's,
and they were helping him build it.
That's a, nah. I don't know if they were helping him build it, but I think at least they knew they had an opportunity to get in. But they
must have been frightened. They had never seen rain.
Never.
From here.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? This is, well, it's going to rain. And they, rain?
What's rain?
What?
What?
That, when it finally happened, they're like, oh, that's rain. then the knocking started. It was too late. It's too late. So, you have in, back to Corinthians. And you can look at those tongues. You can look at the
glad you taught us that last week, because I never considered it that tongues were a sign of judgment.
And that's what...
Yeah, I didn't either. I always thought it was just a straight interpretation of preaching the gospel, because that's kind of how it's always
right.
It's a sign, but...
Right, and that's what I think...
It's really good to an extent. I mean, not all the visions are... You know, he's saying, I want to destroy something, or a plague's coming, but I mean,
but how... That's why I thought about that. I said, how many... I never heard a grace teacher teach that. And I'm not saying that because we got all the answers, but, we talked before, Ed and I were talking one time, and we were just talking about some other subject. And he said, well, are we really Bereans or not? Because you can hear a thing, say it so long that you just take for granted that, okay, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. But until you've really put it to the test, until you search the scriptures, mm-hmm. you can't say that I believe or don't believe that. See, everything that we say, we should have put it to the test. Even things that we say, well, we know what, we take for granted that we believe that. For example, if somebody comes to you in debt and they say, well, you should be baptized in Jesus' name. You know that. You know the answer, but have you put it to the test? Can I take her Bible or his Bible and say, let me show you why you don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name? Not only in his name at all.
Yeah.
And then you can do that. But if you haven't put it to the test, then they may be able to hang us up.
Or convince you.
Or convince us.
Yeah, that you have to.
Like you go to Israel, you might want to get baptized in Jordan. If the opportunity is there. Well, somebody hadn't put it to the test. And they're Bereans. Well, they're believers. So that's something that's always there. We need to be careful not to just poly parrot things. But you might say, "Well, I don't know all the verses." Oh, that's fine too. But at least have the roadmap in your mind where I can say, "I don't know where they are, but I can tell you this is why." And then you can get a concordance and find the verses in your leisure.
Just knowing the fact or the
right.
The grand scheme.
But I don't, if somebody says, how do you get to certain places? I don't know the streets. You know how to get to a place? I don't know the streets. You go down to the corner. There's a building right there. You turn left at that building. Go down to the next stop.
No, the landmarks.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
So you might not know the verses, but
no.
You know the...
You're on the right
road. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, okay. 1 Corinthians 14. He says, 22, wherefore tongues are for a sign... Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. To tell forth the word of God, he said, that helps everybody, not just the unbeliever. It's all about edification. And we talked about those 40 verses in chapter 14 where every one of them is leaning positively towards edification and how important that is versus the tongues.
40 is like testing, training, kind of. Because you got the 40 years that he was in the desert, the 40 years in the wilderness.
Okay.
40, 40, 40.
Okay. It's all a period of probation or testing. Right. And it's... Do tongues pass the test or do they fail?
Yeah.
Well, it was a question. Do tongues, they fail? Right. What passes?
Edification, knowledge,
prophesy, edification, knowledge. You know what? God's whole aim, we just taught it, it's God's responsibility to do what?
To teach us.
He's, you know, our biggest problem as believers, same with the Corinthians, is we, what's that?
Not believing him.
Not really understanding where we fit in his program, which is lack of education. He has so many things hinging on us. I didn't say that right. He can do it
right
on his own, but
if we don't get to a certain point, he can't use us.
Yeah.
Right.
So if we're not smart enough or educated enough to get to a point to be able to be used, like if we still get hung up on water baptism or wait for a sign.
He's gonna
be like,
well,
he's a little slow.
Right. He says, I want to go here. I'm waiting on Blake, though, to get this.
Can't be right.
I'm waiting on him to get this so we can go to the next step. And that's what, that when Paul talks about, he says, I have many things to say, but seeing that you're dull of hearing, he said, I can't say it. You're yet carnal, he says, but we do speak wisdom among them that are.
Mature.
To them that are mature. He says, we speak wisdom among them. So when the big boys get together, we can talk about what God wants done. But, he said, not to you. You ever, you know what? Where I think about a kid where he might want to go play ball and he wants to play with the big boys, and it's you're not ready yet, little fella, have a seat right there and watch us, and then when he, you know what, but as he begins to maybe shoot around with them and he gets a little more proficient, and before you know it, they'll say, okay, you can play a game, but it's practice. He gets up to speed that way. Same way with the Word of God, is by practice with it, by use of it, by education, edification, we learn more and more what God wants, and then we are more and more into his business. You know, the scripture says something like this in Luke, where Jesus went up to the temple when he was 12 years old, and his parents came back and they found him in the midst of the temple. He says, both hearing and answering questions of the doctors. And after that, they said, he went home and he was subject to them. And the scripture said, and he grew in favor or stature in favor with God and man.
Being about his father's business.
Luke. Yes, being about his father's business. Luke.
He was teaching and learning.
He was.
Probably not so much. Yeah, not much.
Chapter 2, verse 46, 45. They go back, they found him, okay, verse 45, Luke 2, 45. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions.
That's the significance of 3 days.
Verse, where is it?
After 3 days.
After 3 days. You know what? That's that's a good question. What's the significance of the 3 days? Just throw it out there without spending a lot of time of it. When you see the number three, we always say it again.
Trinity. I've always wondered about. I always think
like Trinity in my head whenever I come across three, but it's like all over the place.
Yeah, three, and we, most people, they'll think resurrection.
Yeah.
But I'll give you a simple word. It's a big word.
33.
Huh? It's a simple word, but it's a big word, but you'll think about this. Manifestation. You say, what's that?
And you see that manifestation even in nature.
That's what it's.
Being made apparent.
What?
Being made apparent.
Being made apparent. Yes.
That's three.
Because, okay, like, for example, the resurrection.
Solid.
Say it again.
Liquid, gas, solid, like three different states of water.
It's manifest in three forms. The resurrection is. After 3 days, where was he? Where was he before the third day?
There.
Where is there?
In the tomb.
Huh? Oh, not this one, not this passage, but where was he?
In the tomb.
In the tomb. Who saw him?
Who saw him in the tomb?
Who saw him in the tomb? Who saw him in the tomb?
Once he was in there, nobody?
This is not a trick question. This is not a trick question.
He said
when he was taken down off the cross,
right.
Put in the tomb, what happened after that?
They closed it up.
Who closed it up?
The guards
put a stone around it. Who saw him in the tomb?
Nobody.
Nobody. After the third day,
they saw him before they closed it up.
He was made what?
Manifest.
He appeared. He resurrected.
Mm-hmm. Put it in the ground so it dies. And then
that's life. So 3 days. Where were they? Where were they before the third day in the temple? Now we back here now.
Okay.
Where was Jesus on the first day? They left. Where was he on the second day? Where was he the third day? Okay. The group that left him. Did they know where he was the first day? Did they know where he was the second day? That's why they went back. They went 3 days and found out, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Where is he? I'm saying, okay. Luke.
Because he was missing for 3 days.
He was missing.
So the first day he's missing, the second day he's missing, and the third day he's missing.
And it came to pass that after 3 days, after 3 days, they what? They
found
him.
He manifested himself.
They found him, okay. I said we were going to get hung up on that, but all you have to do is when you read, I appreciate that question too. When you read those numbers, those names, when you start reading passages, and when you have the foundation of it, mm-hmm. It'll make sense to you.
Mm-hmm. Add color to it.
It'll add color to it. So, and it'll help you understand, and it'll explain itself. When you're reading, it's like, after 3 days, after what were they doing?
Looking.
And after 3 days, they said,
and he's been there, and he was there the whole time.
He was there. There he is. Okay. He says, and he was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee.
Sorrowing.
How many days?
Three.
Sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? he's in the temple, right? And we know Joseph is a priest, right?
What business?
Joseph, I said we know Joseph is a priest.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yes.
Joseph is not a priest. He's a carpenter.
Yes, yes.
I was getting at this. If he's at his father's business, either he was building a pew in there.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. He was in the temple. Implying that he knew his father was not Joseph. If he was with his father's business, he would have been with his father.
I thought you were almost going with him being a priest because he believed.
No, that's... that was a test.
I know,
tricky.
We
failed. Tricky.
No, you didn't. It's not a failure.
Karen's listening.
Pass.
Laughing. We don't care.
It's not a failure passing test. It's more of stay alert test.
Yeah, breathe.
Watch the text test. So, and
read the words
text, right. Process the information test. Something that you have to do at home, too.
This was easy because the father's business is in red. You know what he's talking about.
Right. They're in red letters. Okay. So he says, and they understood not the saying, verse 50, which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased, this verse we want, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. His maturity spiritually increased. And as his maturity in spiritual things increased, his now, you see that word stature. When I say that word stature, your mind should automatically go to another verse in Ephesians, chapter 4.
Oh, Lord, all come to me.
Ephesians, chapter 4.
See, that's my problem. I just can't.
Well, you were halfway there.
I know, but it just leaves me.
You got the landmark. So, you know what? If you know what it is, you go back and you look that up. The next time that comes up, it's there. Ephesians 4. He says, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. Now, look back up to verse 13, just for time's sake. He noticed that he gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, maturity, till we all come, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a
perfect man,
unto the measure of the
stature.
The what?
Stature.
Of the fullness of Christ. You say, what does that mean? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Maturity.
It's maturity.
Manifestation.
The measure of the stature of the fullness.
The manifestation of your edification.
And that, now she's laughing, but that's exactly what it is. Look, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Or into the unity.
And he said, and that is maturity. That's the perfection that you look for. Is in Christ. The measure, the stature, the fullness. Grace, you get the grace. You get grace. It adds and adds and adds until you get what? And you're mature. And then you do the work. Then you do the work of the ministry. That's why he goes on in the next verses. He says, that's why I don't want you to think like the other Gentiles think. I need you here so you can go and do the work that needs to be done. What you add to the next person, and you add to the next person, and she adds, and that's what grows the body. It says the edifying of itself in love. But if you're missing the measure, what do you give to her?
Nothing.
Not much. If she's missing, and likewise, that's why I like your input, because you have something that I need. Like she said, what does this mean? Every question, every time you ask or tell me something, you don't think I need to grow? Sure I do. We all do. So don't cut me off.
Give and
take. That's how we grow. So we'll stop there and pick up at verse
Corinthians.
In Corinthians, verse 22.
Okay.